one that you know, one that you love, one that you've been with for maybe many years is now gone, passed on. But we must take heart. We know that Jim is in God's hands. And we know that God is one who is good and loving and kind and merciful, just and in every way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can remember Jim and be able to look to you for your love and your truth. I want to thank you for his life and for the life you gave him and for the love and kindness you showed him. We thank you for his family and his friends. And Father, we tell you that we do trust you, but we know that you are kind and merciful and just in all your ways. We now ask for your presence with us, for your grace and your peace and Holy Spirit to comfort our hearts and for your blessing on this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. This time we're going to sing a song, Amazing Grace. I believe you have some song sheets with you. Does anybody need a song sheet? If you need, raise your hand.
A little loud here, aren't we? Probably turn that down a little bit, Kenny, or I blow everybody out.
This time, I'd like to take some time for any of you here that have some thoughts that you'd like to share about Jim and his life. Just come on up here and I'll give you the mic, okay? Rebecca's going to sing a song, I believe, so go on up. I'm going to read something that Andrew wrote while you guys get up there. Go ahead. Grandpa Jim was the best grandpa I ever had. Even though he was a little bit stern, I still love him. Whatever he does, wherever he goes, even though he's not alive on this earth, he's still alive in my heart. I'll always treasure the memories I have of him, the memories I was fortunate to have made with him.
Without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again. Why'd you have to leave so soon, yeah? Why'd you have to go? Why'd you have to leave me when I needed you the most? 'Cause I don't really know how to tell ya that I'm feeling much worse. I know you're in a better place, but it's always gonna hurt. Carry on, give me all the strength I need to carry on. Been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again. Without you, I'm feeling so cold. I'll be waiting right here for you till the day you're home. Carry on, give me all the strength I need to carry on. So let the light guide your way. Yeah. As you go, and every road you take will always lead you on. Oh, it's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. Come along way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again. Ooh, when I see you again, see you again.
Anybody else like to share or sing? Okay, at this time, Mark, why don't you come back up? Mark's got a couple songs he wants to sing for us.
I come to the garden alone, mother dew is still on the roses, and the boys are here falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet. The birds hush in their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me is falling, but He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
I'd like to read from Psalm 23, indeed a favorite of really many people. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in Revelation chapter 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. And He said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And then He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water without cost. You who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. We come together at this time to remember the life of a man, the life of Jim Smith. And, it seems like he went a little early. He's only 64, but his health was failing at the end. And I believe God knew that it was a good thing and a wise thing to take him when he did. Back in the day after Christmas that God took the soul of Jim Smith from us. But it's still a shock when one we know and one we love, one we've been with, leaves us. And to think that one is living, because he is living, his soul is alive, it's just that he's not with us. It's hard for our minds, our human minds, to comprehend all that has happened. But we look at his life, and we know that his life was important. It was important to you, and it was important to the Lord. And he had a full life and did lots of things. I heard these from his family. I'll just pass some of these on. He was born in 1951 up in Indiana. And he was a U.S. Marine. You see the picture when you came in. And he was a mechanic on jet aircrafts during Vietnam War. He's also an auto mechanic, and he did electrical work. He was a cook, a restaurant manager. He was a handyman, a jack of all trades. He could do a lot of things well. And I was talking to somebody when I came in, or when they came this evening, and he took boats around the country too, that he would drive and take them to different people. He liked to be outside. He liked to camp. He liked to fish. And one story, when you were with him, better watch out, because when he was casting, sometimes those flying hooks would catch the person before they'd catch the fish. So he liked to have fun. He liked to joke around. Like a lot of people, sometimes he would get a little hot-headed. But finally, most important, he was a father, a grandfather, and a friend of many. But now he's gone from us, and we need to be thankful to the Lord for his life and thankful for the years that God gave us with him. What does God want us to think about? What does God want us to know? To encourage our hearts, to comfort us at a time like this, I just want to mention a few things. First of all, God is sovereign. God is one who is in control of all things. He's the one who is in charge. And so God knew exactly how long he was to live. It says in Psalm 139, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So God knew how long he should live. And so when God took him from us back into... Which mic? And so when God took him back from us on December 26, God knew exactly what he was doing, exactly what he wanted to do. Secondly, Jim's work on earth was done. Acts 13:36, speaking about David, says, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God, in his own generation fell asleep." That is, David died. You see, God knew Jim's purpose. Pardon? Okay. His work was done. And when his work was done, then God took him. That's what God did. Thirdly, God wants to remind us of our own temporal state, that we have bodies, and these bodies will physically fail. Yet we have souls, we have eternal souls that will live on forever. And we must know and be reminded that just as Jim's earthly body failed him, so too, someday our bodies will fail us, yet our souls will live on forever and ever. This instructive verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says, "The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man, and the living takes it to heart." But what else does God want us to know and apply to our lives? And I will say this, is what Jim would want us to know as well. First of all, that is Romans 3:23 says, all men are sinners. And it says there that all men fall short of the glory of God. It goes on to say in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. And that is because God is holy and because God is just, he must punish men for their sins. It says in Ezekiel chapter 18, it says that the soul that sins will die. But Romans 6:23 goes on to say that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. So the question is, how do we get that gift? How do we receive that? We have to know that God is merciful, that God is one who wants to take away the guilt from guilty people. He wants to forgive our sins. That's what his heart is. That's what his soul is. But how does this happen? How can God forgive the sins of a person? I think of this example. You think of somebody who's a criminal and he goes down to the courthouse. He's there before the judge and maybe a jury as well. And he's committed a crime. And the judge finds him guilty. And so he has to pay then for his penalty. Well, think of the example about us then. I mean, all of us here are on one hand criminals before God. And we've committed many, many crimes. A lot more than just one. And I would suggest hundreds of thousands or even millions. And God's got to punish us. That's just the way it is. But we must understand what God did. God sent his own son to take our place, to be our substitute. God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the penalty that we should have paid. That is, God then punished his own son because he doesn't want to punish us. It says in Romans 5:8, so clearly God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And in 1 Peter 3:18, it says, Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, to bring you to God. So this is great news.
And so what does God then require of us? Well, he tells us that we need to repent of our sins, which just means we need to be sincerely sorry to God and admit to him that we have sinned against him. But then to believe and to really believe in our hearts that Jesus, he died for us. He died for you. He took all your sins, all your wrong thoughts, sins, and actions upon himself and then paid the penalty for our sins. That famous verse in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave us his Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so those then who repent of their sins and believe in Christ are forgiven of every one of their sins and receive eternal life and become a child of God. And those who don't then will be punished, be ones who perish. It says in John 5:24, says, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment but has passed from death to life. And this is what I know Jim would want you to know, that through God, through Jesus Christ, there's mercy and there's forgiveness of all your sins. There's eternal life. There's blessings and peace and love that he wants to give you now and forever. And of course, a place in heaven. And of course, this is what's most important. There's a lot of things we can talk about in life and things that take place on a day-to-day basis and throughout the week in your lives and your work and everything else. But what's most important is this, is your relationship with the living God. That's why it's so important to have times like this. We can think, well, do I know the Lord? Have I told him I'm sorry for my sins? Have I put my faith in Christ and Christ alone? And in all this, then, it's the truth of God that helps us in times like these. We can think about situations. We can think about Jim's life, and that's good. But we need to think and take stock of our own lives and realize that it is God that is, it is holy and he is loving and wants to be merciful to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 86:15 says this, but you, O God, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Might God then bless each one of you. Might God then show himself to you in a real and in a fresh way. Might he do that for your lives. Might he give you the grace and the mercy and the peace and the love that he wants to give you. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for Jim and his life. We thank you for your power and your wisdom and your justice and mercy. And that you are sovereign, that you work all things together for good to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. And we do trust you. We do love you. Is any here who do not now know you? Might you speak to their hearts? Won't you draw them to yourself and forgive them of their sins and give them eternal life? Again, we bless you for being God over Jim's life, for you are the Lord of all. A heavenly Father, a merciful Savior, the King of Kings. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This time we'll sing the song 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing.
Benediction is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you for coming tonight. I want to invite you all to our fellowship hall right behind there. And